I'm over in chapter 9 in St. Luke, still talking about the coming of the Lord now. Talking about Daniel and the things concerning Daniel. Reading in the 9th chapter of the book of St. Luke, let's read these sayings right here. 23rd verse. Now, this is the terms of discipleship. This is what it takes. This is what he requires. This is what he wants you to do. This is what's necessary to get to heaven. And he said to them all, Jesus speaking now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come. Okay, now I want you to notice that we're talking about the coming of the kingdom. We're talking about the things of God. We know from the teachings of the Lord that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men pressed their way into it. So we're not waiting for the kingdom of God to come. You're not waiting for the kingdom of God to come. The world is waiting for the kingdom of God to come. But you, being saints of God, ye are not waiting for the kingdom of God to come. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. That is, they pressed against the evil powers. They pressed against the crushing thoughts. They pressed against the harassing powers of Lucifer. See, they have pressed against these things because the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Why? Because at that time, the kingdom of God come. Jesus was the kingdom of God in its fullness. Jesus came saying, I am the light of the world. And then when he left, he said, ye are the light of the world. So then the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, it came. And ever since John, men preached the kingdom of God. Philip preached the kingdom of God. Men have preached the kingdom of God since the days of John. That's what Brother Pike preaches, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. This was what Philip preached. And the reason is because Jesus is the door into the kingdom. So then the kingdom of God is already here. We're not waiting for the kingdom of God. See, they said, teach us how to pray. So he said, pray like this. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was the way he said to pray. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's desire to be holy in body and spirit, that we should be holy in body and spirit. It is God's desire that the kingdom of God be set up in the earth, that his will be done in earth as in heaven. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So then the kingdom of God has come. Now it's up to you and I, and has been ever since Calvary, to establish this great kingdom in the earth and this great government in the earth, that the will of God be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Now the Bible said, I would that ye be in health and prosper above all things, even as your soul prospers. That's one of the things that God wants done in the earth. Thy will be done. Thy will be done in your life. Thy will be done in my life. Thy will be done in the earth. Thy will be done in the ranks of the government. Thy will be done in the schools. Thy will be done in every stride of mankind. Thy will be done, Lord. So then Jesus, he prayed like this, not my will, Father, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. And I wonder how many times Brother Pike prays that or you pray that. Thy will be done, Heavenly Father, not my will. My will is to go hunting. My will is to go fishing. My will is to go eating. My will is to drink. My will is to ride. My will is to use, you know, the advantages of life and the strength that I have to do the things of the world. Thy will be done, Father, not mine. That is, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself of your will, that is. You're going to have to get away from your own will. You're going to have to deny yourself. If you're going to follow Christ, he said, then let the one that follows me deny himself. I have to deny myself. You have to deny yourself to follow Christ. We've got to deny self. That's what it's all about. So then, Father, let thy will be done, not my will. Not my will. Pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So then, what do we do? I'm praying for God's will to be done in my life. I'm praying for God to take away my will, and my desire, and my ambition, the things that I would like to do. I'm praying that God will eliminate those things and God will take them out of my life. I'm praying that I could cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Son of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying, Father, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ has brought his kingdom into my heart. The kingdom of heaven is within me. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not given to you to know that. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. So then where is his kingdom? Within the heart of mankind. And God came into my heart. And God set up his kingdom in my heart. And today the kingdom of God is within me. Now I pray, Father, thy will be done. Thy will be done within my heart. Thy will be done. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. His kingdom has come within my heart. I press my way into the kingdom of God. And by the wonderful Spirit of God, I have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. It is not that I'm going to be. It's not that I'm trying to be. It's not that I'm waiting until a certain time when I can be. I've already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And so then my inner man dwells within heaven. My inner man has been translated into the kingdom of God. What can I then say? My body has been buried in death. I taught you this morning how that the body is to be buried in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Having been baptized into Christ, I have put on Christ. Having been baptized into his death, it is not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I lost my life in sin. I lost my body in sin. I lost my way in sin. I was lost completely in sin. But Jesus came and found me. He came and found me. And then, now that he has found me, he has set up his kingdom within me. And God, having set up his kingdom within me, I'm praying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If I am a son of God, then my example being Jesus Christ, I follow in his steps. And I pray, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I'm not looking for a career. I don't want to be a ball player. I'm not trying to be somebody that's outstanding in the world. I want to be a Christian. I want to be Christ-like. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want God to use my life. He makes it real plain here. He said, and if you're to be my servant, then you're to follow me. He said, if you're to be my servant, you're to deny yourself. He said, if you're going to save your life and your will is going to be done, and you're going to do the things that you want to do, He said, then that puts me outside. If you're going to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. Somebody says, well, I don't do that, Brother Pike. But ever so often, you know, I do everything God tells me, but I have to have a little time off for myself. But if you'll notice, he included one thing. He said to take up the cross daily and follow me. Every day. Every day. It's not having any time off for yourself. It's not having any time to vacation. It's not having any time to do what you want to do. God doesn't give you any time like that. He said, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought, he said, meditating in my laws day and night, to where you're completely dead and you're not living anymore. And the only thing that can be seen in your life is me. So then, he said to take up your cross daily and follow me, if you want to be my disciple. He said, because if you save your life to do the things that you want to do, he said, then forget about me. Forget about my life. If you're going to have your own life, then take your own life. Do what you will with it. He said, but forget about me. He said, but if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, he said, then take up your cross daily and follow me. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And he said, cast down your imagination. Do away with your plans. Get rid of your life. And just let it be my life, the life of Christ. The life of Christ within you. He said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want eternal life, if you want to go with me, then this is the only way to do it. You cannot have this life with your fleshly desire and your fleshly will. You cannot have this life and have the life of the world to come. He said, because if you save your life here as to your desire, your plans and your programs to do your thing, he said, then you've lost the life in the world to come. And he said, if you're willing to give up this life, consider yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus to the world, and the world dead to you by the body of the Lord Jesus. He said, and you're willing to take up the cross to have my life, to live the life of Christ. He said, then you can have the other world. You can have the other life. But if you save your life, then forget about this life that I'm offering to you. So then it's very obvious, folks, by that all of these churches that we see, those people aren't right with God. It's very obvious that those churches that we see and those things that we see could not possibly be right. Those people are doing their own thing. Those people have careers in mind. Those people are ball players. Those people are looking to get places in the world of being some kind of a celebrity or being something in the world. See, it's very obvious that they are not following Christ. You say, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said he sought to make of himself no reputation. It's very obvious that many of the ministers in the churches and in the evangelistic field are seeking to make a reputation for themselves. And they're not following Christ. They're not following the things of God. God's will is not being done in their life. They're following their own will, their own desire. That's their own program. That's their own plan. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think they're doing a pretty good job of it, don't you? I certainly do. I certainly do. The reason that they can do a good job of it is because the rain is on the just and the unjust. It's because this is the day of grace. They can do a real good job of it. God has given grace. God has given mercy. They can establish their programs and they can put their programs over because grace is here. The blood is on the seat of atonement. God makes allowance as the rain comes on the just and the unjust. But folks, at the end of the way, it's going to yield a harvest. Everything's going to yield a harvest. It might be the same rain that's coming down on the wheat and on the briar. It might be the very same thing. But the harvest of the wheat and the briar is altogether different. See, it's coming down on them. But look at the harvest. The rain of God coming down upon the just, coming down upon the saints of God. Look at them. What are they yielding? The peaceful fruits of righteousness. They're bringing forth the fruits of righteousness. They're bringing forth Christ-like doings, Christ-like actions in life. They're doing the things that's like Jesus. But look at the world. Look at those that are tares. What are they doing? Life is abundant to them, but they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they're producing ball games, and they're producing frolics, and they're producing the things of the world, and they're producing their own gullible desire as to watch the filthy things on television, or to gullibly swallow up the things of magazines and newspapers and billboards and television and radio. They're gullibly swallowing up the things of the world. They go to the frolics of the world. They don't have time for God. They're not doing anything for God. They're not following God. They're not interested in God. But their programs and their plans every day is to do what they want to do. Go where they want to go. Do what they want to do. See what they want to see. Say what they want to say. And be what they want to be in this life. That's the way they are. See, because their interest is in the flesh. And the flesh, if you savor the things that be of the flesh, then you are of the devil. For the Bible said that Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. He loves the things of this world. You know, I marvel, being a minister, the years that I have, maybe over 30 years, I marvel as I travel through the world, as I consider the fact that traveling across the world, people have the wrong concept of what wrong is. They have the wrong concept of what wrong is. To them, wrong is to kill somebody. Or wrong is to rob a bank. Or wrong is to do these things that's so outstanding. So much to the extreme. And they say, now there is the wrong. There is the culprit. You know, but they don't ever say anything about just being worldly being wrong. I say this again. What did Peter do? Did he rob a bank? Did he kill somebody? Did he do some horrible, hideous crime? All he said was, nay, Lord, be it far from thee. And Jesus said, you devil. I don't want to listen to a devil talk, Jesus was saying. Get thee behind me, you devil. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the devil. He said, Satan, I know you. Satan, you like the things of the world. You're the god of this world. You want to get these men's mind on my flesh. That's what you want to do. You want to get me in a melancholy state to where I will get the feeling like I should not go to Calvary. And then all of the plans of God would be gone. He said, for this cause I came into the world to bear witness of the truth. He came to die for sin. He said, you devil, don't talk to me like that. Nay, be it far from thee, Lord, the devil said. Nay, we're not going to let them hurt you. Jesus said, you devil, don't talk to me like that. See, this is the reason I came into the world, for them to put the nails in my hand. See, what hideous crime had Peter done? Peter didn't realize the devil had took advantage of him. But Peter got carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. Peter got fleshly minded. Folks, when you get ball game minded, what kind of mind have you got? When you get hunting minded, what kind of mind have you got? When you get fishing minded, what kind of mind have you got? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, why don't you preach against sin? That's what I'm preaching against. Satan, thou savest the things that be of the world. Is fishing of heaven? Is hunting of heaven? Is playing ball of heaven? Come on, folks. See, thou savest the things that be of the world. You like the things of the flesh. I want you to take up your cross daily, he said, and follow me. Daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me, Jesus said. If you gain your life, if you save your life, if you do the things that you want to do. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why do we have to do it like this? Well, you don't have to do it like that. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But he said to the rich young ruler, he said, if thou wouldest be perfect. If you want to be perfect, he said, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to be perfect. If thou wouldest be perfect, somebody, well, I'd rather do what I'm doing and not be perfect. I'll just take whatever I got. The very fact that you would think like that proves you ain't got nothing. See, if you had anything at all, if you was mixed up in anything in the world, it would be because you was a babe. It would be because you hadn't developed. It would be because you're doing all that you know to do, and these other things that you're doing, is you're doing them because you've never been told any better. You don't know any better. See, hundreds and thousands of people do those things because they don't know any better. So then God gives them 30-fold, 60-fold, whatever it is. He only requires of them what they know. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. If you're planning to go with God, if you're planning to be perfect, if you're planning to have the blessing of the Lord, Paul said, let us go on to a full reward. If we're going to have the fullness of God, then we're going to have to get down to business. When I was a baby, I done like a baby. When I was a child, I acted like a child. If I was a child of the world, I'd do like the children of the world. But in that I become a man, I put away the world. So then, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, Father, thy kingdom come. Listen now. Thy kingdom come. Let all the hunting and fishing be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say something. See, thy kingdom come. Father, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, O God. Somebody would say, well, what kind of will do you think that is, Brother Pike? Well, there's one thing for sure, it's not the will of God. Come on, folks. I said, doing the things of the world is not the will of God. What are we trying to do? We're trying to convert people. Trying to convert the world. Now listen, I can't change the world. The world's going to be burned up. God is going to destroy the world. God is going to change those ball players and all the things of the world. God isn't going to change that. He's going to let them go their way. He's going to burn them in hell. That's their world. That's the land of Esau. That's their frolics. All of those things in the world. Whether it's Six Flags or whatever, it's the love of the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. So then, you're not going to change them. But what we're trying to do is seek and save that which was lost. That was lost off from the house of God. We're trying to get the righteous. We're trying to get the godly. We're trying to get the pure. We're trying to get the holy. That is, those that are preordained and predestinated unto holiness and unto those kind of things. Like the word holy, the root word for holy is divide, which means we got to put a distance between us and sin to be holy. All right, so then, what is this that we're speaking of? What is this that Abraham, our father of the righteous, has found? See, we're trying to convert you. If a man's got a yacht, God isn't trying to take his yacht away from him. God isn't trying to take his boat away from him. God isn't trying to take the ocean away from him. He gave man knowledge to build those things, but he should use it for God. If he's got a boat, he should use it for God. If he don't do nothing but paint on the side of the yacht, glory to God, hallelujah, and go out there in the midst of all of them. He should honor the Lord with his substance. There should be a reason behind that. If a man's got a business, if a man's got a job, if a man's got a career, whatever he's got in this world, that takes him into the things that helps to be his brother's keeper as to produce something that's worthwhile in life that God has said that we need. If he is in anything like that, then he should use it for the glory of God. If it's something like foolishness, like ball games, and this crazy sort of a doing, he needs to get rid of it and get out of that kind of thing, and they need to abolish it. They're not going to do it because that's the land of Esau. That's their inspiration. That's their life. They're not going to do it, but I'm speaking of Christians. I'm speaking of godly people. I'm speaking of people that come to the right kind of understanding. Come out from among them, he said. Be a separate people. You can't stay out there with that kind of crowd and say that you are a Christian. He said, come out from among them, Jesus said. And be ye a separate people, holy people, a divided people from those people and from that source. He said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. What is the unclean things? He said, the love of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Whatever you do should be done for Christ. If you cannot do it for God, you need to get out of it. This crazy doings of boxers and wrestlers and basketball players, half naked. These people standing around talking about glory to God. God's going to let me punch him out. Come back to their corner testifying and saying, glory to God, I knocked his brains out. I knocked him out. Don't you know that's crazy? I broke his neck. Like Strickland, when he hit the fella, he broke his neck. He killed him not too long ago. Somebody hit one and killed him. Broke his collarbone. We won the game. Glory to God. We won the game. I broke his neck. I broke his collarbone. Don't you know that's an abomination in the sight of God? Don't you know it takes a bunch of ignorant people to do that? Folks, pardon me. I said it takes a bunch of ignorant people to do that. How ignorant can a man get? I said, bless God, someday they'll punch your nose in. They might do it. But praise God, right now, I want to tell them they're ignorant before they do it. A bunch of ignorant folks to do a thing like that. I know that Abraham Lincoln gave his life, and it was revealed to him he was going to give his life. But like Abe Lincoln said, he said, I'd rather hold my office of integrity and do what I'm supposed to do. If that's the way it's to be, that's the way it's to be. See, I feel this way. Like this morning, I said some things. I said some pretty strong things. I spoke about buzzards. And to some folks, the word buzzard is a strong word. So I spoke about buzzards. Now, the thing is, I spoke about those things. And somebody would look at me as if to say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this, folks. God would never have made a buzzard. I tell you, that's the truth. Had there not been a devil somewhere that was a buzzard. That is, God made a buzzard to represent that old devil buzzard. That devil in God's sight was an unclean bird. It was a buzzard. He feeds off of the dead of the earth. Them devils come down, them demons come down. And you people that live in the world, that live in trespasses and sin, that live in lust, the Bible said you're dead while you live. And them bunch of buzzards come down to feed on you. I said something about the ball game and the bunch of buzzards that's out there playing ball. Pardon me, folks, if it don't sound right. Rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at it like this. Now, whether you believe it or not, when you go to the ball game, they're just as apt to spray beer on you as they are anything else. They sit there, they go through all of this mess, and they gamble. And then at the end of the way, all of the ball players in general get together. And they go off hugging and a-kissing and a-buzzing around. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, some woman, she drinks till she vomits. And this man, he drinks till he vomits. And they start kissing on one another. It'd take a buzzard to do that. Somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, they're bubbling, they're beer, they vomit. They do all of these things. And then when they start lapping their vomit, somebody says, hooray for the dogs. They've turned to their vomit again. The old sow, after she's been washed, to her wallowing in the mire. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, why is it that they go around? I've heard this expression. One will bubble in his beer and the other will bubble in his beer. And I've heard these kind of expressions. One say, you old buzzard. I guess they ought to know who they're running with. I feel that way, don't you? When Jesus said that fox, I believe he knew what he was talking about, Brother Taylor. They ought to know what kind of company they're keeping with him. And I'd say it'd take a buzzard to fellowship a buzzard. And that's my conviction. If a buzzard came around you with that old stinking mouth of his after eating in the carn and in a dead dog, I got a feeling you'd have to be a kinsman to stay with him. So then Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me. See, I marvel, folks, that we can't differentiate as to tell what is right and what is wrong. See, what is wrong? The world is wrong. We're not down here to try to talk about how beautiful the world is and the things of the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you're going to get anything out of the world whatsoever, run it through the filter. Let God add it unto you. Seek the kingdom first. And then let God add these things to you. Whether it be position, whether it be something in the world, or whatever it might be. Let God add it unto you. Don't go running after it. It's got a curse. When Gehazi went after it, look what happened to him. It was under the curse. See, you don't want to do that now, do you? See, so don't go running after the world. Modern religion. You know, years ago, it wasn't like that, folks. Way back down in grandmother's day and grandpa's day, they had enough sense to know that they had to get out of the world if they were going to heaven. They worshipped under their little old, whatever it was, a brush arbor or whatever, but they loved God. Women dressed like ladies and men act like gentlemen. And they used to have a little saying in the South, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, it's hard to find anybody's gentle anymore, whether it's lady or man. You got women on the police force. It's a horrible situation. Now, I said that to say this. In our modern day, you know, we're trying to modernize everything. We're trying to say, well, we've discovered something. What have you discovered? Well, we've discovered that God don't want you to give this up, and God don't want you to give that up, and God don't want you to give this up, and whatever. I'll tell you what, God wants you to give it all up. If you don't give it all up, you don't get God. Jesus said, lest you deny yourself and come to me, you don't get nothing. And he said, to bring every thought into subjection to me, meditate in my laws day and night. Touch not the unclean things. Come out of the world. Don't have the love of the world in you, nor the love of the things of the world. Isn't that what he said? He said, come out of there. So then God wants you to give it all up, folks. Every bit of it. And he wants you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God will add unto you what he wants you to have. He will add unto you. And not only that, God doesn't want you to go around trying to get people in the church. It's good to invite people to the church to hear the gospel. But to get people into the church, God doesn't want you to do that. The Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what's wrong with the church now. If they send out the buses and they try to get so many in the church and they've got a number here and a numerical order over here. They brought it up from 50 to 100. And now we're working for 200. Now we're working for 300. When they ain't got 25 that needs to be in the church. They ain't got 25 that needs to be in the church. You understand what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, they don't have 25 righteous people out of the whole 300. You understand what I'm saying? So then God said, deny yourself. If you're going to save your life in this world, pardon my expression, but if you're going to be a pretty boy and grow yourself a little goatee, pardon my expression, gentlemen. I hope I can call you gentlemen. So that the girls is going to make a fuss over you. And I don't mean this comical, but they used to say that he brushes my teeth with it every time he kisses me. You say, Brother Pike, do you think there's anything wrong with that? The lawyer said, saying these things, you reproach us. We're dignitaries. He said, you hypocrite. You say, do you think there's anything wrong with that? No, in some places it is a custom to wear beards. They have worn these little things because it's been a custom with it to the people. They have worn beards because it has been a custom with the people. Certainly nothing wrong with it. But this bunch of hippies that's got here in America that wants to be pretty boys and they grow themselves a little thing across there. I remember when the great man that was at that time supposedly a great man of God established one of the greatest, biggest Pentecostal places in America. I remember when he was doing real well. But one day he growed him a little goatee. And when he did, I told my wife, I said, a devil of lust has got that man. He's built this great cathedral. He's built this thing. This thing is great. I said, but a devil of lust has got him and he's gone. And it wasn't long before they reported it that he got mixed up with one of the girls there in the church. And he was gone. And they put him out and he stayed out for years. And now he's come back with his own private operation in Atlanta, Georgia. That is tremendous, unbelievably big. Whether he has repented, whether he has got away from his sins, I don't know. I do know one thing. I know that he got a number of our tapes and our messages before he built his great place. And I know who took them to him and got the report on him where he preached it and where he had his series on television concerning it. But the thing is, it depends on the motive behind that thing. It depends on what you're doing. It depends on whether or not that beard and that mustache of the whatever you've got. It depends on the dress that you're wearing as to what motive is behind it when you put it on. It depends on the motive behind it when you stand and curl your hair and comb your hair and twist it around and powder your nose and these kind of things. See, is it saying thy will be done on earth? Is it saying the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day? Is that what it is? Somebody said, well, my God, Brother Pike, is there anything that you don't speak against? Yes. You say, what is it then? I never heard it. Jesus. I don't find no fault in him, as the preacher said. He is faultless. He is faultless. When it comes to me and all the rest, the Bible said all men have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. So then, when you do these things, I have nothing against it. I have nothing against it. To me, with a mustache, you look just as good as with a white one. It don't make no difference to me whether you got one or ain't got one. You know, if you got a beard, it makes no difference to me. The Lord had a mustache, he had a beard. You know, he had that. There was no sin against that. There was no ugliness with that. That was the custom of their day. To shave off the beard in that day, it made you a sissy. In that day, you wasn't even considered a man until you got your beard. See, I'm not contrary to those things. That's customs. It's been in the old country for many years. But like I said, this bunch of hippies over here, I know God allowed that so that the custom could strike America. And I know that it is becoming a custom. I know that. But it's still a pretty boy thing with some folks. And it's still an old lust devil with some folks. And that's the reason that they do it. So then I say again, it is the spirit of the thing. It is the motive of the thing. Why do you want to build a great business? Why do you want to take an office? If a man wants to take an office, maybe he does want to get in office. But maybe he's prayed for 10 years saying, God, if I could get in there, I'd change this wretched, devilish way of the doings of these people that are legislators and whatever. God, if you'd raise me up. God, if you'd put me there. God, if you'd help me. I'd change that thing so that the people wouldn't be with such great suppression. See, it depends on the way you comb your hair. When you stand in front of the mirror and the wife, she's combing her hair. And all the time she's thinking, you know, I don't know, he might not be there tonight. You know. And her mind ain't on her husband. Her mind ain't on her husband. There's a good possibility she might not have combed it all the week for her husband. It's the same way with the man, you know. That's right. He goes through his little ritualistics looking into the mirror. And all the time, his mind is just as far from his wife as it can be. See, why is it on God? Isn't it on God? Why don't we have our mind on God? Why don't we cast down every thought? And while we're combing our hair, thinking, you know, God, let me get this stuff straightened out some way so I'll look presentable if I go there tonight so I can do something for you so the people at least won't be finding fault with that little thing sticking up on the back of my head. You know, you're fortunate to have something to stick up. A lot of folks, it ain't got a whole lot of it, you know. You can see mine. But I'm just telling you, it's wonderful to have hair. That's good. But I think everything that belongs to a person, if it's the form of the woman, why doesn't she dress to present her body to her husband? Why doesn't she do that? Why does she want to be an adulterous person to get out on the streets and to fix her clothes in such a form-fitting way that she's going to draw attention from other men to her body? What kind of thoughts has she got in mind? Why does she powder her nose and rub rouge into her cheeks and paint her eyes? Why does she do that? Somebody said, well, for her husband. I say again, she probably didn't do it all week. It wasn't for the husband. It certainly wasn't for the preacher. Not this preacher. Now, you might do it for some preachers, but not this preacher. I tell you, I'm like this. You know, if I'm going to have anything, I want to see what it is. Are you like that? If I'm going to drink something, I'd like to look at it and see what it is. If I'm going to eat anything, I'd like to look at it and see what it is. If I'm going to have a wife, I don't want her to look like a lizard. I don't want to be looking through cosmetics and all this stuff piled up. I don't want to see try to find her behind the pancake makeup. I want to see, you know, if you're going to marry a woman, you like to feel the real skin. Because see, I'm made to relate to my wife, and she's made to relate to me. And if I go to feel of her, I want to feel of her skin. I was preaching out in Los Angeles, down in Los Angeles. We've been preaching out in Hollywood, Placentia, Anaheim, down there for the Full Gospel Business Men and the Four Square Gospel Church and different things. And I was preaching there in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles. And I gave an altar call, and then people came to the altar, and there were some fine folks. But honestly, I walked by and looked at them, and they were bawling, and the tears were streaming down their cheeks, and it looked, you know, it looked like water that had run over a mountain and cut a gulch. I don't mean that in exaggeration, as to say it was that big, but I mean that was the appearance, you know. That was the thing, the way the thing would strike you. The pancake makeup had just cut right down through that. But at least they were praying and talking to God. At least God was washing away the mud so the spring could flow freely. Now, you know, I believe with all of my heart that God made your face the way He wanted it. Now, don't you think so? Don't you think God made your face the way He wanted it? I believe He did. And I believe that He wanted you to dress holy, to dress godly, to be pure, to be righteous, to have the right kind of mind, to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow Him. I'll tell you something, folks. You get about 3 days of fasting under your belt, and you won't care whether you have long eyelashes or short eyelashes. Your mind won't be on eyelashes. That's right. You'll have it on turnip greens and cornbread. That's right. Unless you really get your mind on God, like somebody said to Brother Terrell one time. Said, Brother Terrell, during your fast, didn't you just see a lot of visions? He said, I sure did. And he told him, according to the report I got, he told him it had to do with cornbread and the turnip greens and whatever, steaks, whatever. See, so when you get to serving God, when you get to wanting to really serve God and be like Jesus, you know, could you picture yourself? I'm just being realistic, folks. You know, could you picture yourself? Here's the woman, she's standing in front of the mirror, and she's singing, to be like Jesus, and she's smearing the lipstick. Oh, to be like Jesus. Now, you know, and I know, that putting lipstick on represents the great whore that was drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. Let's look at the revelation of it now. God let the lipstick come to represent the great whore that was drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. And we could say some things on and on and on about that. But anyway, I'm just trying to be realistic, and I'm trying to get you to see that where the wrong is, it's the things of the world. Somebody is trying to make it sound like, you know, that the wrong is to kill, to steal, whatever. That is wrong. That's wrong. But see, where the wrong is not to kill. Come on, folks. It's not to steal. It's not to have union between male and female. Oh, somebody says, you must be crazy, Brother Pot. It's not to turn up the jug and take a swig, as we say. See, if it is, why did Jesus say, there is nothing without that enters into the mouth that can defile a man? Why is it that the Lord sent David to kill and to slay the armies if it's wrong to kill? Solomon said there's a time to kill. Brother, when God says kill, it's time to kill. And when He goes through the valley of Armageddon and the blood runs up to the horse's bridle, it's going to be time to kill. You understand what I'm saying? When He sends His earthquakes and His lightning bolts and whatever, it's time to kill. That's the time. See, so that isn't where the wrong is. You say, well, what about stealing, Brother Pike? Well, the Bible said if a man steal to satisfy his soul, it's not wrong. If a man's hungry and he doesn't have anything to eat and he goes by your vineyard and he takes him a chunk of it, God said, I won't charge a thing against him. Because it's God's tree to start with, that's God's human being, and you should have gave him something to start with. So then, where is the wrong? I say again to you, it is the spirit, it is the motive, it is the mind, it is that that defileth the temple of God. It is why that you are killing. It is why that you are stealing. It is why that you're doing these things. So then, where is the wrong? Let's look at it. Somebody said, well, them horrible, hideous things, Brother Pike. I know. But nevertheless, the Bible said, just to be stubborn, just to rebel, is the same as idolatry and witchcraft. Now, where are we at now? To worship the idol, is that wrong? The witchcraft, is that wrong? Folks, let me tell you, God has a way of doing things. Those things that you partake of, they are wrong. That is the same as if you worshiped an idol. That is the same as if you went out here and you become a witch or you practice witchcraft. To be stubborn, see spirits. Spirits of lust, spirits of jealousy, spirits of resentment, spirits of gossiping, spirits of backbiting, spirits of fault finding, spirits of rebellion, haughtiness, high-mindedness, spirits, hundreds and millions of spirits, demon spirits that live in human bodies, spirits of gullible desire, spirits of the love of the world, spirits of the lust of the flesh, spirits of the lust of the eyes, spirits. All they want to do is buy, eat, drink, gossip. You understand what I'm saying? What we need to do is get out of the flesh. Somebody said, well, what in the world can we do? Come out. Come out. How can I come out of the world? Get out of the flesh. Leave your flesh alone. Bury it over there in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. Take on the body of Jesus Christ. Take on the mind of Christ. And let the mind of Christ teach you and talk to you and lead you and guide you and make you to what you ought to be. I'm going to say a few more things and I'm going to try to close. A lot of times I speak about the evangelist. Not against God's word, not against God's evangelist, not against holy men, but against error, against wrong. For God has not given us the spirit of error. A lot of pretty boy evangelists. See, a lot of prestige, television, want to be over here, wants to be this, wants to be that, want to be famous, want to have a reputation. And I think about them a lot of times. See, they don't even know what they're doing. They've not even gotten out of their diapers. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what it is to be a real preacher, to be a real minister. They don't know what it is to go through things like a real minister. Their mind is on this side of Calvary, over here in the gullible desire of the flesh, wanting to be famous, wanting to be great, wanting to be mighty. They're going to preach. Everybody's going to make a fuss over them. They're going to be the man that does all the talking. See, they're just as carnal-minded as they can be. If they were on the other side of Calvary, like Elijah over here in a cave somewhere, had a piece of skin wrapped around them, and didn't have no bacon, as we say, for breakfast. They didn't have nothing to eat, nothing to drink. They didn't have no steak for dinner. And they were over here living in a cave like Elijah. And the only way that they even got fed a lot of times is for the ravens to bring them a little something to eat. And they didn't have the pretty side of life. And they couldn't go to the steak dinners. And they couldn't invite their fellows out to breakfast in the early morning so they could sit around and chat and spend your money. If they were over here on the side of Elijah, if they were out there with Elijah, if their mind was like Elijah, you know the joy of Elijah? You know the jubilance of Elijah? He wasn't to be famous and be on TV, as we would say. Of course, they had no such in that day. But he wasn't to be famous and go down the street and say, yea, yea, Jezebel, thus saith the Lord. He knew that Jezebel would take his head off if she got a chance. Evangelists wasn't famous then. Prophets wasn't famous then like some of the evangelists are today. Some of these evangelists come to Atlanta and they have so much and you pay them $5 and you can come in and be in their evangelistic crusade. You understand what I'm saying? If they were on the side of Elijah, if they had the mind of God, their delight would be in fellowship in God. They're not in the flesh anymore. They're not in the world anymore. They're not looking to the things of the world anymore. Their joy is in heaven. They live in heaven. They fellowship heaven. They fellowship saints of God that's gone on in the Spirit. They fellowship the angels of God. Somebody said, hey, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You can't communicate with the dead. I agree to that, but I'm not talking about the dead. I'm not talking about the dead. A lot of people are asleep. Some are dead. So then, like it was John, he was fellowshipping the saints of God. He started to worship one of them. They said, nay, I'm your brother. I'm of the prophets. Worship God. So then, see, you're on another side. You're on another world. You've got another feeling. You've got another desire. You don't have any desire for the world. You're not after the things of the world. You're not on that side of Calvary. Hey, now that makes it different, doesn't it? That makes a different thing altogether. Somebody thought, well, praise God, glory to God, we're the church, we're going to do it. Hallelujah, we're the evangelists. You know, everybody's going to say, yay, yay, look at them. See, that's not what it's about at all, folks. That's not what it's about at all. That's exactly why God allows the people to say the dirty, filthy things they do, the scummy things that they say about true Christians, is so that it can kill out. It can kill out the outer man. That's why the prophet said to the man Naaman, you know, here he is, a great dignitary. You know, he comes down. He's a celebrity. He comes down to the prophet and he says, I'm here. You know? So the prophet said, good and well. Go tell him to go down there where that muddy river and take a bath. Can you imagine that? Well, that man flew into a rage. According to the Bible, he flew into a rage. Said, don't he know who I am? I'm a dignitary and I come way down here. You know, to see him, and he isn't even going to come out and say hello. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm sure the little servant come back and said, sir, he is all upset. You've got him all upset. He said, well, I'll be okay. After he takes a good muddy bath, he'll feel better. So tell him, go on down there. See, now God does that to take the starch out of us, folks. Paul said, we as the ministers are made the off-scouring of the world. The church escapes most of that. But he said, they talk about the preacher. They call us everything that's bad, falsely. But see, there's one thing about it. When that man went down to the muddy river, and the only reason he went was he knew he was going to die if he didn't. That's the only reason you get them to listen to you. They know that they're still having funerals. And so then they listen to the preacher. Otherwise, they wouldn't even take time to listen to him. They got so much going in the ball games and the gambling halls and the dance halls and whatever. But they keep thinking about dying. And they figure, well, I better add a little something on the side to find out what's going on. So then, it's like this. When he realized that he was going to die, that the leprosy was going to kill him, he thought, well, the man is a prophet. He did say, go down to the river. I don't understand why I can't go over to the other rivers. They're clean. That's what he said. They're clean. They're not muddy rivers. But nevertheless, he's a prophet. And so down to the river he went. When he dipped the 7 times, when he obeyed the prophet, when he done what the word of the Lord said, his skin came again like that of a little baby. You understand what I'm saying? I said that to say this. See, the virtue was there. All the mud was thrown at it, but that's where the virtue was. God did that to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Don't you know that if the people of that country, whether kings or whatever, knew that that kind of virtue was in that water, well, all of them have been down there taking a bath. Did you know that? While there, you say, well, they all didn't have leprosy. They wouldn't have had leprosy. Some of them getting about 65 or 70 years old thought, man, if I can get to looking like a baby again, I'll go down to that river. You say, they never would do that. Well, why do they use the mud packs? Why do they do that? they feel like it's going to do something for them. Say, yeah, Brother Pike, I remember you used one. No, they used some on me. Felt pretty good, too. He said, what do you mean? I mean, the barber, he stuck it on there. He wanted me to experience it, and I experienced it. And it felt pretty good. You know, it made the skin feel real good. Said, well, don't you think that was wrong? No. There was some revelation and some things that took place in it. But don't you think it was wrong? I sure don't. Don't see a thing wrong with it. My dad had a sprained ankle, and he put red mud and vinegar on it, and it done it some good. Then putting the mud pack on my face when I was laying down there, I felt real good about it. Felt real good when he took it off, though. I felt better when he took it off than I did when he put it on. But it made it feel real good. You know? Now, if I'd have got up from there and if I'd have went out of there wearing that mud pack, you know, then I think it would have been different. If I'd have put pancake makeup on and I'd went out there wearing pancake makeup, I think I'd have felt different about that. But see, I came out with my same face. I looked the same way as when I went in. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing in putting rouge on my face. Well, if you want to put it on at night and wash it off in the morning, it's fine. I mean, if it'll do anything for your face, I don't think it will. I think the mud pack does, from what they say. Anyway, it felt good. That's what I was doing. I didn't care what it done for me. I was interested in the way it felt. He wanted to put it on, and it cost him the money and his time, so I let him do it. He wanted to put it on, he washed it off. And while he did, I just laid in the barber chair and rested, and sometimes dozed off to sleep. It was a chance for me to catch up on a little rest anyway. Now, I said those things, folks, to say this. Going down to the muddy river. Going down to the muddy river and taking a bath. That man found his way. That man's skin returned as a little child. And that man come back praising God. See, God doing the foolish, abased things of the world to confound the wise. We need to realize that the things of the world and anything that's in the world that doesn't glorify God, that doesn't give us some kind of peace and serene peace and understanding as to wisdom or rest in our bodies or in our minds, as to something that's real, that's from God, that's allowed of God, something that's not as of a worldly nature to pervert humanity or to cause us to get entangled in the things of the world. See, if we can come to something that's right, holy, godly, pure, that will benefit us, then that's fine. I eat, you eat, nothing wrong with it. You know, but there's a time to refrain from eating. You have your family fellowship as to man and wife. But the Bible said there's a time to restrain yourself and to stay away from each other so that you can please God and you can fast. And the Bible said to give yourself to fasting and prayer. Then to come back together, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. You that are married. So then, rendering due benevolence, as the wife to the husband to the wife, the writer said, as to render due benevolence. God commanded that. But folks, let me tell you something. Everything that you can do that's right, everything that you can do that has no sin in it, no wrong in it, that's not contrary to God, then you're welcome to do it. God will allow for it. God will bless you in it. God will raise you up. God will strengthen you. God will give you riches. He will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He will make you rich. He won't add any sorrow with it. He'll give you the boat. He'll give you the fruit of the land. He'll give you the blessings of enjoying the lakes and the seas. God will give you the blessings of children and of wife, of homes, of lands, of automobiles. God will give you the carnal things of life, as long as the root of what you're doing is for Christ. That's right. God will bless you in it. If you anoint yourself with the oil to keep your skin in good shape, as long as you're doing it for God, that's fine. God will bless you in it. It doesn't matter. They anointed themselves with the oil in the early life, back in the Old Testament, because it kept the skin soft. Nothing wrong with that. If there's anything that you can put on your face that will add to the texture of your skin, not to try to make it look like a lily, you know, or make it look like some Something so soft that if you ever touch it, you know, you cut it all up. I ain't talking about that. Trying to make it so soft that when somebody touches you, you feel like a lily pad. I'm talking about something that helps your skin, helps your body. If you can take a vitamin, if you can take a dose of medicine, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If you can go to a doctor, you know, I don't mean women go to doctors and let him play around with them and expose their body. I'm not talking about that dirty, sloppy hole. I'm not talking about that. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you're talking about a doctor. No, I'm talking about a pig pen. I'm talking about a slop hole. There's a difference between a physician and a slop hole that steals the virtues of women. I'm talking about when women deliver children. Let them have the midwives. Let them go to the ladies. If a doctor's there and he wants to tell a lady something, let him tell her through his lady. If he doesn't have a lady, he needs to get him one or quit practicing. That's exactly right. That's the way we work at Bethlehem. If the ladies are to have something, we work through the husband. As we work through our wife to that woman, or that is, they work through their husband as to that man. And we work through the husbands. That is, as to the head of the thing. So then, I'm not talking about the slop holes of the world. I'm talking about getting back to godliness and getting back to holiness. When a lady can walk down the street and she can be a lady. What woman can walk down the street with a long dress or walk down the street and be a lady when she knows she's a prostitute from one doctor to another? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Pike. Yeah. You know, you pass her from one man to another and she's like a dirty pig. And then you dress her up like a Christian. You sing your religious songs. And she walks down the street and she's thinking in her mind, you know, this man, he gets upset if I show my ankles. Ain't he got no sense at all? Don't he know I've been through the pig pen? And don't he know that I'm just as dirty and filthy as can be? And he's trying to make me like a beautiful little lily? Folks, don't you know she's got some sense? I'm talking about keeping our ladies. I'm talking about when women can walk down the street and she really is a lady. I'm talking about a real lady. I'm talking about keeping the virtues of our children. Same thing with a man. You know, he goes to the doctor. And who is the doctor? It's Miss Lady. She's there. You say, but I don't think this is right. What's that got to do with it? She says, I'm a doctor. But I just don't feel right about this. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You do what I tell you. And sure enough, he does. And what is he? He is a number one whoremonger. He is filthy and dirty. He is a slop hole. Because he exposed his body to that doctor or to those nurses. And somebody said, well, he's sick. It'd been better. He died. He'd have been a whole lot better off if he'd have died before you ever got him there. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't want pain. I don't like pain except for Christ's sake. I prayed many times to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I don't like pain. I don't like to be going crazy in my mind, my nerves snapping on me. If I could get any help, I would get it. If you've got any sense, you'll get it. The Bible said the sick need a physician. And medicine, you need medicine. It does good. Like a merry heart. But I'll tell you one thing, and this is the truth before God. And I've told my wife this. If I've got to go to a slop hole with a bunch of nurses around me like that, I want to die. I don't want her to take me up there. I don't want her to take me up there. If I'm in pain and she can get anything to ease my pain, I want her to help me. But I don't want her taking me up there. I don't. I don't want to be in a slop hole. I don't want a woman going around all the time putting her hands on me. And I know they do. You know, they got to shake hands and they got to pat you on the back. And the Bible said it's good for man not to touch woman. Been better if he never had a wife. It's better to bite his eyes, Paul said. But nevertheless, there has to be reproduction in the earth and God made it to be so. Now, so then, I don't want that. I had rather die. If I've got to die, let me die in decency. Don't put me in a pig pen. If I can go to the hospital, if I can go to a room, If I can go to where a doctor's going to talk to me that's got any sense or any concern about humanity or any knowledge of the human body, and he wants to treat me like a human being and not expose me and make some kind of spectacle out of me, then I appreciate anything he can do. I do. But this other, I don't want no part of it. I don't want to live for God all of my life and try to be holy and try to be clean and try to be upright and try to do the right thing. And just when I get so old I can't help myself, you know, and I get in such a condition that I can't fight back and they drag me off to put me in a pig pen, I don't want that. I hope God will have mercy on me, and when my time comes to die, that'll be it. You know, that'll be it. After that, I know that they'll take you down to the morgue. They'll take you down to the morgue, and they'll expose your body, and they'll have you there nude right there when you're dead. But there ain't too much joy over that when you feel like a cold cucumber. They don't have too much enthusiasm about passions along then. They look at you different, and they think of you different. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe in decency, and I believe in decency all the way. I don't believe in getting up and preaching and telling my people to be holy and to be decent, and then when we come down to these other things, say, well, this is different. This is the doctor. This is the hospital. You know, and we've got to help you or you're going to die, somebody says. I say, bless your heart, say, die, die, let me die before them buzzards get a hold of me and defile me and everything I stand for. I'm telling you, you say, Brother Pike, you mean that? Not too long ago, I happened to be in the room when a nurse came in. And when a man was in there, I happened to be in there. And I was over at a place to where it wasn't too convenient to get out. And I wasn't too sure what she was going to do. But I just turned my head when she exposed the back part of him and popped a needle in him. Him a grown man. And she went on her way. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, I say this, if there ain't nothing wrong with it, what do you bother to wear clothes for? Why do you bother to wear clothes? If one woman's going to look at you, why not another? If one man's going to look at you, why not another? Because he's got a little slip of paper that he got from some bald-headed professor. That don't mean nothing. That doesn't give him the right to expose your companion, does it? See, that's the way I see it, folks. If we're going to be decent, let's don't be a hypocrite. Let's don't tell ourselves something when it ain't so. What kind of fool would it be to sit around and tell himself and his wife and children, we got $10,000 in the bank when he ain't even got a bank account. You know, he doesn't even have a bank account. But he said, don't worry, we got $10,000 in there. What kind of fool would he be? See, what kind of fool is it that a woman has been exposed, a man has been exposed, and he says, this is my lady right here. You know? He'd be just as well off if he's out there with that old sloppy hog saying, this is my lady right here. Come on, folks, that don't sound good, does it? But that's the way it is. Somebody said, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. He'd be just as well off rubbing that old sloppy hog, saying, this is my lady right here, because she's just as sloppy and filthy. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, why did Jesus say the sow goes back to her wallowing in the mire after she's been washed? Why did he say the dog would lap his vomit? Because that's what they are. All right, so that sounds a little bit strong. I know that. But I still say that's the way it is. If we're going to get to reality, I'm talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about being without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I'm talking about getting a church ready. Somebody said, well, the church, I think it's ready. You mean to tell me that the churches with the pool rooms and the ball games and all them kind of practices, that they are ready for God? It's no wonder the Lord hasn't come back. He hasn't had anything to come back after. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you said we were saved by grace. I know that. I know that, but that grace of God that appeared to all men, the Bible said it was teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. That is to be holy in body as well as in spirit. Now, I might stumble, I might stagger, something might happen, something I can't help maybe, and the Lord won't charge it against me. But brethren, let me tell you something, when you can help it, it's going to be charged against you, and you ain't going to be part of that bride. All right, let's stand together. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If what I'm saying is right, then you endorse it. You stand for it. There's people out yonder that they're making statements against the brothers and against the body of Christ when they ain't nothing but a buzzard. They're the ones that's dirty and filthy. God don't have no dirty, filthy people. Somebody said, you called him a buzzard. Well, who is he that I called a buzzard? Who is he? Tell me who it was I called a buzzard. You said, well, you said that buzzard. Well, how many believe in buzzards? You believe there are any buzzards out there? Sure, there has to be some out there to eat that old dead carrion. If it didn't, we'd step in it. That's what they're there for. That's why they have their parties. They get together and they have their parties. They got a dead dog over here and a dead dog over yonder. And they get out there and they have their parties. And the next day we can walk around. A lot of times we just have to stay out of their vomit. That's all. I love the Lord, but that's the way it is, folks. That is exactly the way that it is. Somebody said this beautiful world of cosmetics. Well, it just depends on how you look at it. I don't see nothing beautiful about it. The world will pass away. The lust thereof shall pass away. All of this garbage that people are using is going to pass away. Hallelujah. All of it. It's going to pass away. Anything that's good, anything that's right, anything that's pure, anything that's lovely, anything that'll help you, anything that'll do something good for your body or spirit or family, anything that is set in order according to godliness and after godly knowledge, then you're welcome to it. It's for you. God wants you to have it. If there is good understanding, it don't matter if it comes from a professor or a preacher. If it's good understanding, if it's to a good cause, if it's the truth, then latch on to it. It's worthwhile. So, well, can you read anything out of a book? If it's fit to read, if it's any good in it. I still say that there's no need to go through a garbage can to get a biscuit. Man. You know, if it's a dirty, filthy book and it's got everything kind of filth in it. You know, I marvel at some of these people here. I can't hardly believe it. Now, I told you this before. They'll come and they'll bring me a book. And I look at it, and this has been marked out, and this has been marked out, and this over here that's nude, it's been covered up. And I look at it, and I think, well, God, I'm the preacher. I'm the one supposed to keep them away from that. I'm the one supposed to keep them away from it, and here they are, they're keeping me away from it. Now, isn't that stringing a gnat and swallowing a camel? Somebody said, well, bless God, I just bring it to you like it is. No, what you need to do is not bring it to me at all. You bring it into the house of God, that's crazy. You bring it to me, that's foolishness. You didn't have no business with it to start with. Say, but them's books. I know Paul piled them up and burned them. That's what you need to do. He was your overseer. So you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that there are some little things you might scratch over. You know, but when you get a book full of nudeness, you need to throw that thing away. You don't need to sit there and scratch over those things. By the time you sit there and look at that filth, you ain't fit for nothing yourself. What kind of book could be fit for anything that's got them kind of pictures in it? You say, oh, I know one, Brother Pike. You say, what is that? You say, it's the Bible. No, when you put them kind of pictures in there, you make the Bible unfit. You make the Bible unfit. Somebody said, well, what do you think I ought to do with my Bible like that? You shouldn't have one like that to start with. When somebody sold it to you, you shouldn't have took it. You say, well, they gave it to me. Well, you shouldn't have took it. Somebody says, I think you're going to the extreme. I believe it's time that we went to the extreme. Jesus said, be hot or cold. That's to the extremes. We've been cold long enough. We need to get hot. So then, I feel these artists that put those pictures in the Bible, that's a dirty, low-down, scummy trick to put them in the Word of God. Somebody says some great painting this is about. This is Angelo's painting about Michael, the great angel, or whatever. I think it's a scummy, dirty thing. You don't need his pictures in there. If he can't draw decent pictures, then he needs to quit. Of course, he's gone on now, as far as I know. But he don't need to. You go into some churches, you look up in the ceiling, and they're dirty and filthy. I went into Mexico, went to where Francisco was, Mr. San Francisco. I got in there, and I looked up there around there, and it was a dirty, filthy mess. And there I was, and our women folk and men up there in that place, a dirty, sloppy mess. Pictures painted all over the walls. I believe in decency, folks. You need to take some pictures down off of your wall. You need to throw some magazines away. You need to get rid of some books. And I'm going to say this, and I am going to close, because I know we need to close. But I've said this before. You think that's extreme? I think it is a filthy, dirty mess when you've got Sears and Roebuck, Spiegel's catalog, and whoever it is, as to the men standing around in their dirty, filthy ways and the women standing around. You don't need any that dirty, filthy, messy, scummy book is as bad or worse than any of the rest of them that you've got in your house. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, that is Sears and Roebuck's catalog. What difference does that make? It wouldn't make no difference if it was Brother Pike's and Brother Taylor's book. What difference does it make? Because it's some kind of a catalog. Somebody said, well, how are you going to know what you want to buy? Well, you don't need that. Some of you spend enough time in the stores walking around those dirty, naked things. Yes, you don't need the book. You got enough filth and junk in your mind because you're strolling around through the stores all the time looking at it. The statues. Whatever. Anything. Well, I think that's downright to the extreme. I think it is too, and praise God for it. I hope that I can be an extremist all of my life. They don't have no reason to stand those naked, nude statures out there. All of those things suggest thoughts to the mind. All of those things, and the Bible said we serve God with the mind. All of those things suggest thoughts to our little children. The billboards, the dirty, scummy field billboards that they got. Somebody said, can't you use a little lighter terms? I don't know any lighter terms. They're dirty and scummy. Well, praise the Lord. I guess that's what... Well, we won't say that. Let's just sing a song. If we sing that song, I'll give the glory to Jesus. Let's sing that song. Jesus said, a generation of vipers, the sow to the wallowing in the mire, the dog to lap the vomit, a cage of unclean and hateful birds. The Bible said, and Judas's guts gushed out, and Epiphanes' guts, it is taught in history, gushed out. They rottened in their bellies. The Bible said in the Old Testament, when women became evil, that their thighs rotted. That's what God thought about it. Sing that song again. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, this is why that my children, a lot of my natural children, didn't want to have anything to do with a lot of things that was called religion, because they've been raised up in this kind of teaching. From the time they were little, they've been raised up in this kind of teaching. And they just see right through it. If it's some kind of hypocritical, make-believe, they see through it. So they don't want any part of it, because they know what it takes to go to heaven, folks. And that's the way the Jews are. See, the real, genuine person that is called a Jew, they know what it takes to get to heaven. And it has to be straight. And it has to be clean. And it has to be upright. All of their sacrifices had to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. If I'm a lamb that's offering all the day long, I've got to be without spot. I've got to be without blemish. I can't be halt, lame, and blind. God won't receive me. Got to be a perfect sacrifice. Can you sing it again? While we sing this, the altars are open. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love.
We'll sing about His love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonder.
Sing it again.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonder.
One more time.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
Have you ever stopped to ask yourself this question? What is it going to be like in the day of the judgment? What is it going to be like when we stand there and we have to acknowledge that we compromised with all of these dirty traits of life to have a few more years or to get a little medicine or to do whatever we do in life, whatever it might be, sometime twisting a little bit with the bankers to say, well, you know, I just want to answer them. Twisting it to get the good end of things. Like a fellow that left the bank and he was laughing about how he had to twist it a little bit, tell a little white lie to be able to get what he wanted. One of the was to be the brothers. See, what is it going to be like when you stand there, when you ladies stand there, and you stand beside some of the ladies that died in the dark age, that gave their lives before they would compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you compromised it just to get a little relief through life. What is it going to be like when you men stand there? And when men spilt their blood and their bodies were stretched unto the death. And when they were thrown into prison, stoned, and wouldn't compromise, and you compromise just to get a little pain stopped or a little something, what is it going to be like, folks? He said, now, Brother Pike, now wait just a minute. I'm telling you like it's going to be. See, you're standing there by yourself tonight. But what are you going to do when Peter and James and Paul... And what are you going to do when the other people that died through those horrible, hideous trials, what are you going to do when you're standing there with them? You understand what I'm saying? Folks, you can be thankful to God. You can be thankful to God that you're living in this age and that you have the privileges that you have. And ladies, you can too. You can be thankful to the God of heaven that you are living in this age. And have the mercy that you have. But folks, it's getting time for what we call the rapture, or you call the rapture. It's getting time for the translation. It's getting time for God to pick up a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. It's getting time for that. And you and I are the ones. We're going to have a little endurance. If you can do something for yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. As I said, if you can get medical aid, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong when you compromise with those dirty, evil traits of exposure and whatever might come in. There's something wrong with that. Something wrong with it. You need to get straight. You need to get things together. You need to get something going. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, what if we die? So if you die, you're dead. You're going to die sometimes anyway. Which had you rather do? Compromise and save a year or two? And then die and go to hell? Or go ahead and die a year or two early and go into heaven? I mean, if you had to look at it like that. You love the Lord? What are you going to do? Some of you that run for the medical aid when your little ones come into the world and you compromise and find yourself in the pig pens, what are you going to do in the day of judgment when you stand up there with Rachel when all she had was a handmaid? And her soul departed from her. And she lost her life as little Benjamin came into the world. You're going to stand there with her. What are you going to do, lady? Somebody would say, well, if they'd have had that day, Jacob would have took her over there. You know better than that. Those people gave their lives. They had decency. They had ways of decency. How is it that the world got along? Somebody said, well, we've got to have these things, Brother Pye. How is it that the world got along without these things? All through the wilderness for 40 years, they got along without those things. How was it they got along without those things? Even down to Calvary. 4,000 years, they got along without those things. And how is it after that, that hundreds and hundreds of years following Calvary, they got along without that? And then we're in the modern age and we say, well, Brother Pike, this is different. We have to have those things. Let me tell you, folks, a man ain't got much sense. Not very much sense. If he doesn't love his wife with all of his heart, when he's the cause of those sorrows and travails, he hasn't got much sense. If he doesn't give her the very best and love her and watch after her every minute, he hasn't got much sense. To love her as Christ loved the church. But there's one thing about it. If a woman's got love for God and love for her companion, she'll work with him anyway as long as he does the best for her. She'll work with him anyway. That there might be decency and virtues might be preserved in the earth, that God can be glorified. We got a dirty generation, folks, an adulterous, sinful generation. It's dirty. In their minds, they're dirty. In their lives, they're dirty. In their home practices, they're dirty. They fill their minds and hearts with television and it's filth. It's no wonder that the children are in the shape they're in. The Bible said that the parents have eaten sour grapes. And now the children's teeth are on edges. And they wonder what's wrong. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. We're glad to have you here tonight. I see Chris out there tonight. And I think his companion. I saw her somewhere here with us. The others that come in, sometimes I don't see you. You know, it don't register. But I want you to know that we're glad to have you at Bethlehem. When you go out and hear all kind of things about the minister and the brethren of Bethlehem, go out there and tell them people, when they start that, they say, look. You just say, look. You owe it to the preacher. You owe it to those brethren to go out there and tell them and take the man with you that said it and face him. If they say no, say, well, you need to stop your mouth. You need to stop your mouth. They got a little saying, put your money where your mouth is. If you go to transact and you go to do something, and a man keeps saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, they say, put your money where your mouth is. So then, they used to say, put up or shut up. You know, if they can't prove it, then they don't need to be saying it. You need to tell them, in a right way, but in a firm way, just how you feel about it. And if anybody wants to come, let them come. Let them come. I wished I had 5,000 of them tonight standing before me that's accused and said what they have. And I'd love to go down the line one at a time and make him look me right in the eye. I'd just love to do it. But it's just like them that was accusing the woman. And Jesus went down the line, who was guilty? So folks, let's be godly, let's be holy, let's be children of God, let's love one another, let's try to be decent, let's go to heaven, let's lead somebody into the right way, into the holy way, into the godly way. Let's hold up Bethlehem and the church, and let's hold up decency. And let's be godly and let's be pure. Don't reproach the name of the Lord. He'll put you in hell for that. He'll shorten your days for that. He'll put you in the fire for that. Somebody said, well, I've done it and I got by with it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. He may be having mercy on you and he may be helping you. But you might have took 10 years off of your life. You don't know what you did. It might be that God ordained that you die with cancer in later years. Or that you suffer with a misery. Or you suffer with insanity. Or whatever. You're going to pay for it. The best thing that you can do is say, my God. And fall on the mercy of God. And ask God to help you and forgive you. And work with you. Because you don't know what's ahead for you. It's for sure you're going to pay for it. You don't sow nothing but what you reap. So don't slip around and think you've gotten by with that. And God don't care and you can do something else. You remember what I'm telling you. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. I'm here for that purpose. You get away from those things. While you're standing here, I'm going to ask Brother Atlee to come up and pray with us. And while you're standing here with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, I want you to think over these things now. I want you to carefully think over these things and say, God, I've come to realize that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I know that all I've got is my breath. And Lord, if I miss this, if I slip, I'm going into the lake of fire. Everyone who doesn't have her name wrote down will go into the lake of fire. And folks, do everything you possibly can to love Him and please Him. Not that it's of your righteousness, it's of His grace. But you please Him and do all that you can to show Him that you want to do right and that you want to be holy and that you're glad for His righteousness and His holiness, that you might be partakers of it through His grace. Do your best. That's all He asks, is your best. And when you stumble and stagger, if any man sin, that is, if he stumbles and staggers, if he's trying to do his best, you've got an advocate, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous, an advocate with the Father. You've got it. Which means that though you stumble, it's only a trespass. He doesn't allow it to be a sin. And He's for you. And He's with you. And He'll help you. And He'll keep you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So think it over. As Brother Atlee prays with you, think it over, folks.